Here's our gospel for today from Luke chapter 8. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 15. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some of it fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, 'Let everyone with ears to hear listen.' Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But they have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance." This is the word of the Lord. Well, it's good to be back here with you. I recognize some of you. It's been a little bit since I was here to preach, but I so enjoyed my time during Lent with a few of you in our retreat. So if I understand correctly, you are in the midst of a stewardship series. Is that right? And your pastor said, "Come and really let him have it." No, he didn't. Today I want to talk to you about what it means to steward the soil of your heart. So I'm not going to talk to you about money or talents or resources like that, but I want to talk to you about the very soil of your heart. And so I want to start by offering to you an image that God gives us, a picture of God's plan and intent for you and for me and for everyone. Isaiah 58:11 says, "You shall be like a garden, like a deep spring where waters never fail." You shall be like a garden, like a deep spring whose waters never fail. This is God's plan, God's intent, God's dream and desire for us. So, we're to be this well-tended, lush garden filled by this limitless source of life-giving waters. And yet here we are, in this world, where there's so much that seems to be quite a bit different than that picture. Right? Anybody agree? Yeah. Life can be really hard. So this image of the well-tended, lush garden and this just boundless source of living water, just tuck that away in your heart as we begin. So this parable, the parable of the sower, which you've probably heard many times before, is a bit of wisdom language. Parable is a way to use wisdom language. In fact, we know Jesus used this style of talking quite often. It's a way that speaks, that kind of tickles and teases our brain. And it's supposed to be used to sort of make you wake up and pay attention, because you hear it and you're like, "What?" So it calls us into this more active listening. And of course, the Bible has lots of other sections of wisdom language. Maybe we think of the book of Proverbs as the most popular one of those wisdom books. And there in the book of Proverbs, right at the beginning, we hear this thing, this picture, another picture about wisdom. Wisdom as a woman. Wisdom is personified as a woman in the book of Proverbs, who is standing out in the middle of life, in the middle of our streets and our towns, calling out to us all the time and inviting us to pay attention and join in the abundant feast that is supposed to be life with God. So wisdom language, God's wisdom for us, can be viewed as this image, this woman who's like the best host ever, who has like the best feast. I know you all have some really good food around here. Last time I was here preaching, somebody was all about, hey, we're making our Polish kielbasa. Come with us and make it. So I know you guys like some food here. So think about wisdom, who is standing there inviting you all the time to the greatest feast ever. That's what God's wisdom is. Present all the time in the reality of life, calling out to us and inviting us to participate. So we are invited to realize that. And as we do, we're invited to learn by practice and by making adjustments in our lives how to walk in wisdom's ways, God's ways, more and more of the time, so that we come to experience that abundance, that lushness, that well-watered sort of life. So these are the guiding images operating in the back as we move into this parable. So Jesus starts talking to this crowd that is gathered with him about this story, this sower who went out to sow. And if you heard at the beginning, and when I was reading the passage, the sower, who in this passage is God, doesn't seem to be very careful with the seed. Did you notice that in this passage? It kind of gets everywhere. Now, is anybody a farmer? A gardener? Yeah. If you get like a new packet of seeds or bulbs, are you kind of like reckless and haphazard with them? Or do you're like, at least for me, it's like, man, if this is my source of livelihood, or for me, like, what's going into my garden? I'm really careful with these seeds. I don't want to lose any of them. But in this passage, we see the sower who goes out, and like, the seed goes everywhere. So, you know, we're often like, that's maybe not the way to do it. But here we see an invitation that some of the seeds land in many, many places. And it's not a way to think about being protective and controlling and, you know, how we kind of are, but to consider that God is not careless, but God is a God of abundance. We see abundance right from the beginning of this parable. That God's goodness, God's life, God's presence is everywhere and available everywhere. Now, sometimes in the church we think, if we come right here to this place and do things just like this, then we'll experience God. But this parable says, hey, the sower goes out and some seed falls here and there and in fact everywhere. The same amount. It just says some. It doesn't say some fell here and some fell there. And most went in the good soil. You should all be good soil. No. We see some, the same word used through the whole passage, that God's seeds are spread everywhere. So first of all, we're invited to consider abundance. God is a God of abundance, not stingy, not only offering seeds of life, rarely, on special occasions, or only in tiny doses. God is a God of abundance. There are an abundance of seeds full of potential for new growth, new life, maybe more than you ever assume there are. Maybe more than you ever realize there are. There are a limitless amount of these seeds of God's kingdom scattered through the whole of your life every single day. One of my favorite authors, Paula D'Arcy, puts it this way. God comes to us disguised as our life. God comes to us disguised as our life. So whatever your life is, God is fully present, active in all those details of your life. So whether you feel like, hey, I'm over here on the side of the road, or I'm over here in the thorns these days, there are seeds from our generous sower that are there. So this passage lays out kind of a picture of different kinds of soil. We're all familiar with that. But I want to say to you today that I have been each soil named in this passage. I have been a trampled path. I have been rocky, stony ground. I have been a thorny thicket. And I have been good soil too. Sometimes we hear this passage and we think, oh, I should be good soil. But the reality is, throughout our lifetime, we're all this variety of soils. This passage isn't about looking around and judging myself or about judging anybody else. It's not about slapping one permanent label on, oh, that person, they've always been a thorny thicket. They always let those things choke them out. It is not about that. No, this is an invitation to wake up, to listen and to notice. Remember, wisdom, God's wisdom is calling to us all the time, inviting us to pay attention. Jesus said it here. Hey, whoever has ears to hear, listen up. Because from day to day and season to season, the soil of my heart changes. Think about the farmers really out there in the fields. Do they tend the farm, the crop, the soil, this year the same way they did last year? Is that like a given? We always do the same thing. No. In fact, this year has been really challenging for farmers all across the country. In the West, with the fires, here through the Midwest, all the way to our northernmost border, down through here, there's been record rains, so much flooding, which either made it impossible to get into the fields or delayed it, or people had to change what they were going to plant. You see, each year it's different. The weather conditions are different. And day to day, the farmer has to pause. Notice, make an adjustment as needed, depending on what the conditions are. So, the invitation is not to slap on a label that, oh, I've always been rocky ground. Woe is me. It's just, you know, or, oh, my husband. He's all, no. It's this invitation to wake up, to pay attention to the conditions where we find ourselves right now, and to turn to God in that place. So let's take a quick look at what Jesus tells us about the various soil conditions. So we are invited to first think about that soil along the path. Now the first image that comes to my mind when I think about this is driving on the road, like the berm of the road. And what do we find there? Can you talk back to me? Rocks and what else? What? Weeds. What else do you see on the side of the road? Yes, roadkill, all kinds of gross stuff, debris. Like the stuff of life somehow collects right there on the side of the road. This morning on our way here, we got stopped by a train. And I'm, you know, had all this time to stop and look right outside my window, right on the side of the road. And it was like just junk. Tires, like, you know, litter, all this stuff that just collects right there on the side of the road. I also thought about my property. We live up in Temperance. We have 5.5 acres. We keep it fairly natural. We only mow a portion of our lawn. So the kind of part of our backyard is more like a meadow. And we have some tall grasses that grow there. And we mow paths that you can walk. It feels like a metro park in your backyard. So I had this idea, you know, it would be really great on one part of our property if I just had this row of sunflowers that came up on the side of the path. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, wouldn't you enjoy walking on a path that sunflowers just sprout? So I planted some seeds, but I didn't really tell my husband that I did that. And he's the one that mows. And, you know, sometimes a nature path that you mow, It's not a perfect science, right? It's, you sort of mow the general area, but sometimes it goes over a little. Yeah, so they never came up, and I was like, what? And he's like, well, when I finally mentioned it to him, I probably mowed them over. I didn't know they were there, right? So this side of the road is sort of an undesignated area. It's not a place where you really think about planting things. It's sort of a, an accidental area that nobody's too thoughtful about. Like stuff of life just lands there. It gets trampled down, stepped on. My kids play ball in the yard. Like you can't plan anything right there because they just, oops, I ran over it. You know, it's not a boundaried off place right there on the edge that's ideal for growing. It's an undesignated space in some ways. So, sometimes it gets thoughtlessly trampled. Not intentionally. Dear husband didn't intentionally mow down my sunflowers. But it was like, well, who would have thought something like that was growing there unless you designated that? Then there's the rocky soil. And that brings to mind, just this kind of sense of arid, ground. The text tells us it is rocky for lack of moisture. And so a seed planted there can't ever get a deep enough root. And we know that if you're going to survive through the seasons, you have to have a well-established root structure. Now, if you're working in your garden here and you put a new planting down, you might put some mulch over top of it as it's just starting to grow. And why do we do that? Because the mulch helps hold that moisture in while the roots are being established so that, hey, I went away for a week this summer on vacation and my plants survived. They didn't get scorched in our high temperatures because they had a chance to develop that root structure and be protected by some mulch, helping them hold their moisture. Then the thorny thickets. Okay, this also brings to mind the property we live on. The very back of our property, it's more densely wooded. There was a woman who lived there before us for about 40 years, the last 10 of which she was a widow, and she couldn't keep up with the property. So just imagine when you think of like a forest that has not really had anybody in it for maybe a couple of decades, what it might look like. So if there's a lot of trees over a couple of decades, you would expect, maybe some branches to fall or a lot of branches to fall. Some thorns and vines. We have so much poison ivy. We have so much of that thorny growth that just, it's crazy. We have those really big invasive climbing grapevines like that just take over. It's quite amazing what these vines can do. So it's a beautiful part of the property, and we wanted it to be usable. We wanted our paths to get back there. And so dear husband, went back and I helped him some. The boys helped him some. We would move some of those fallen logs. But, I mean, these thorns were just impossible. So little by little, he's had to go back there with all kinds of different equipment to try to clear the path. And he did. It's a wonderful place to walk, to just experience the quiet, meditate, be with God. But he can't just like say, oh, I did that, now I'm done. It takes a lot of upkeep, a lot of attention and maintenance. And they grow up so fast, and they are so pokey, sometimes you really do need to have the right gear. So we're talking like gloves, some shears, sometimes you need a handsaw, sometimes you need a chainsaw, sometimes you need a machete, and always your safety glasses. And so he goes out there at different times and has to really cut these things back because they will choke out the path. They will choke out the life of the grass even that wants to grow there. So the thorny thickets, they need attention. And no matter how much we go back there to clear it, we got to keep going back to maintain it. Then the good soil. And that's the soil, of course, that is tended and tilled, watered and amended and weeded. It's lovingly cared for. And so it's the ideal place for seeds to grow up to their fullness, to their fruitfulness. So that's the space where the farmer works, noticing the unique needs of the moment. Noticing and hearing and adjusting and readjusting from one season to the next is what allows those seeds to really be retained. And the farmer perseveres. Keep coming out. Oh, look, we've had a really dry spot. Now we need to do some extra watering. Or, oh, look at all this extra, weed growth that we have. Then we need to come out daily to tend to this. So the farmer is the one who's noticing and adjusting throughout all the conditions so that the crop can be abundant. So Jesus again says, hey, hey you, listen up, here, hear me, wake up. If you have ears to hear, listen. And he says, I'm talking to you in this language, this wisdom language, because it's gonna shock you a little bit. It's gonna cause you to pay attention. And of course his disciples say, well, why? And he says, hey, some of the people are gonna be hearing and not understanding. They're gonna be looking but not perceiving. And you know what that means? That happens to us every day. Anybody go on autopilot? You're driving and the next thing you know, you don't remember how you got back home, or you got to work, or you got to the grocery store. You don't remember any of the path because you've gone that way so much you don't even have to be thinking about it. You just are there. There's lots of time in our days where we're doing the same old things. We're on that autopilot. And Jesus is saying, stop! Wake up! There's something else here. There are seeds for you right here in this moment. The invitation is to wake up and listen. We don't have to beat ourselves up about, you know, maybe if we find ourselves in a thorny place right now. We don't have to beat ourselves up if we're feeling kind of dry and desert-like. We don't have to beat ourselves up if we feel like we're in that trampled, hard ground place. Sometimes we do that. We're so mean to ourselves. That inner voice that you hear, I can't believe you're still here. Who do you think you are? You think you're a Christian? You're going to go to church? Look what you did. Okay, that negative voice, that is not God's voice. The invitation is to let go of that judgmental voice and to hear that beautiful invitation from God. We don't need to harshly judge the soil anymore. Instead, we can learn to steward the soil with loving attention and by using various practices in our lives day to day that help us cultivate that place of good soil in our hearts. So what tools might we need? Now, in a church, sometimes you're like, if I only read the Bible more, if I only went to church more. But instead, I want to ask you, where do you feel most alive in Christ? Where do you feel most connected to God? Remember a time when you felt so deeply connected to God, or where one of those like moments where you're, oh my goodness, this happened and I knew God was with me. What was going on? Take a minute and just recall one of those memories. It might be from long ago in your childhood. Maybe it was from this week. Remember a time when you had a sense of great well-being. Where were you? When did you feel that peace that you long for? Were you by a beach? Were you tending a campfire? Were you at a really loud concert? Riding a bike? Petting your favorite dog with your best friend? In the quiet. You see, it's not the same for all of us. We all have many different ways that we encounter God. And the invitation is to start there. Where do you feel most alive in Christ? It might not be sitting down super quiet reading your Bible for an hour. It might be when you're digging in your garden. It might be when you're rocking your grandbaby. So wherever it is that you sense that deep connection with God, we start there. We cultivate that sense of loving kindness and embrace from our God. And then we think about, what are the things in my life that till up the soil of my heart? When things get a little stale, what helps me experience that movement? Are there boundaries that you might need to set in your life to keep that haphazard trampling at a minimum? Do you experience that feeling like, man, this... Every time I go to this place, I feel trampled down. Is there a boundary you need to set up so that that trampling is kept to a minimum? What waters your heart, your life? Is there a song that comes on and every time it comes on, you just feel the whole being rise up within you and you just have to move to it? What's the mulch in your life? What helps keep that moisture in? Is it lighting a candle when you sit down for supper with your family? What's the compost in your life? Oh, sometimes there's some stinky stuff, but man, it's really good compost. It just needs to be worked in. Is there things that just need to be worked in and worked through? Maybe you need to talk with somebody about that. What's it time to weed out? Where do you need to cut back and simplify in your life? Because sometimes really good stuff are the most clingy, thorny vines around. So what do you need to cut out? And then what helps you hold those seeds of God's life that are coming to you with openness? What helps you stay open and soft, compassionate? Those are questions that help us get to this idea of what it means to cultivate and tend the soil of our hearts. But here at the church, we think about the garden of God. You're all growing in God's garden. And so we also get to think about and notice, are there times when maybe I interact with other people thoughtlessly? Am I a thoughtless trampler? Sometimes I am. Sometimes I let those words fly before I really think through what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm a scavenger coming along the edge of the path, you know, hunting and picking for the different things. Sometimes I might be a clingy vine. So again, no judging, just noticing if I'm doing that and then turning that. How might I come alongside the others in my life and be a waterer, a feeder, one who can clear space and bless another? So as you think about your life together and in your neighborhood and in the city, what are the ways that you might sense an invitation from God to water, to bless, to clear space, to nurture, so that the garden of God's kingdom can grow into that lush, well-watered, never-ending river of life flowing through? When we tend and amend the soil of our hearts, we begin to live a more Christ-aligned life. It's one of fruitfulness. And when we live in this way, the generosity of God flows freely through us. It's so much easier to think about offering up my time, my talents, my efforts, my money, when I'm experiencing that sense of abundance in the soil of my heart, in the garden of my life. And so, the invitation is to lovingly tend and amend the soil of your heart with the loving farmer, our great God, by our side. And as I close this in prayer, I ran across these words from another hymn this week, and I just feel like they're the prayer. So I'm going to read these words from a hymn and let them be our prayer. Lord, let my heart be good soil. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart be good soil. Amen.